Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also invite you to our in-person Bible study held on Wednesdays at the church in the Fellowship Hall from 5:15 until 6 p.m. In our passage today, there are four discernible parts. In verses 12 through 16, Matthew tells us how Jesus' public ministry began. In verse 17, we are given a summary statement of Jesus' message. In verses 18 through 22, we hear the call of the first four disciples. And in verse 23, we receive a summary of Jesus' travels and the nature of his ministry. In verses 12 through 16, Matthew, like Mark in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 through 15, has the beginning of Jesus' ministry happening immediately after the temptation story and after hearing of John the Baptist's imprisonment. In verse 12, some of our translations say, "He," meaning Jesus, "withdrew," which catches the meaning of the Greek verb better than "returned." The Greek word anekoresin is only found twice in the other Gospels, but is used 10 times in Matthew, almost exclusively for the response of Jesus to threat. It is not cowardice or self-preservation, but instead represents Jesus' alternate vision of kingship, which is non-violent. In verses 13 through 16, we are told Jesus left Nazareth, which was in the territory of the Old Testament tribe of Zebulun, and dwelt in Capernaum, which was in the territory of the Old Testament tribe of Naphtali, a fishing village on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. Both were in the region called Galilee, which was likely a mixed community of Gentiles and Jews. The word Galilee means circle or region, and Galilee of the Gentiles, which we see in verse 15, originally meant a region of non-Jews, and some scholars suggest that many of its residents were forcibly converted to Judaism in the Maccabean period of 167 BC to 37 BC, especially when they dominated from 110 BC to 63 BC, though by this time it is likely Jews were in the minority. Both tribes are mentioned in order to prepare for the quote that follows in verses 15 through 16. Whatever prompted Jesus' move from Nazareth to Capernaum, Matthew interprets it as the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 2. Luke refers to Jesus' work in Capernaum, Luke chapter 1, verse 21 through 28, but no connection is made to the prophecy. And Mark's account of Jesus' message says, "The time is fulfilled," at Mark chapter 1, verse 15. But for Matthew, it's the place that is fulfilled, as we see at verse 15. The quote Matthew uses from Isaiah is technically not from the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament, often represented with the Roman number LXX, or the Hebrew version of the Old Testament, but is likely from an independent Greek version available to Matthew. The quote from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 2, speaks of the grand reversal that shall occur in the latter days, when the spiritual darkness of Galilee will be dispelled by the dawn of the new age, when the ideal king appears. Matthew uses it to explain why Jesus worked in despised Galilee rather than Judea. At verse 17, we get the summary of Jesus' message, and the first word of that message is repent. Now, many of you may already know that the Greek word metanoite, translated as repent, basically means to change one's mind, and has traditionally been expressed as a reorientation of one's life, or to change direction in one's life based on the approaching kingdom of God. As an interesting side note, that Greek word translated as repent often stands for a Hebrew word that has a different understanding and means to grieve for one's sins. Repentance is an important Jewish doctrine that involves profound sorrow for sin, restitution so far as is possible, and a steadfast resolution not to commit that particular sin again. And there was a school of thought that suggested a man can never truly be certain he has repented unless he has successfully resisted a second temptation to commit the same sin. Jesus' words for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or is near, is actually better translated as has come near, because it describes an event and not a static condition. The kingdom of heaven is not just an ideal or a principle or an abstraction, but is revealed and embodied in the life and ministry of Jesus. This is why kingship is so important in the Gospel of Matthew, from the opening scenes of a newborn king to the kingship language we see in chapter 27, verses 11 through 54, to the vindication of the resurrection, and, as we see in chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, that all authority has been given to Jesus. In verses 18 through 22, we have the call of the first disciples, and it is interesting to note a few things. In Matthew's account, it does not say Peter and Andrew were in a boat, just that they were casting a net, which can be done from the shore. It says that James and John were in a boat, mending their nets with their father when Jesus gave the call. How come the father did not go? Did the call not include him? It is unclear. Notice how these fishermen are already at work, already have something useful and important to do. They are not looking for a new life, nor are they seeking a teacher or a rabbi. The call of Jesus does not fill an obvious need in their lives. Jesus seeks them. The metaphor, fishers of men, is very familiar in the life of the church, but if pressed too far, can become unattractive, and it did not fare well in New Testament writings. The shepherd analogy became much more popular. In verse 23, we have a summary of Jesus' travels, all Galilee, in contrast to Luke, who has Judea at Luke chapter 4, verse 44. And Jesus' activity, teaching in the synagogue, preaching, and healing. In conclusion, we see that discipleship is not an offer man makes to Jesus. It is Jesus' call and activity that creates the situation. Once again, we see that the divine initiative is God working through Jesus. We do not create the call. We are given the opportunity to answer the call or not. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.